Let's get ready for this word. You guys excited for the word of God?
Amen.
Let me pray. Father, I just pray that you bless this word today. As we go into this study, I just pray, God, that you will bless all the moms here, all those that aren't even moms right now. God, I just pray that for anyone that's lost a mom, for any expecting mothers right now, for any woman who has lost a child, Father, for everyone in this room, this word applies. So I pray that you would encourage us today, this Mother's Day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we go to this Mother's Day edition of the Warning Series, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. This is an interesting story. Genesis 21, beginning at verse 14. This is what the Word of God says. Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water, and he gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulder and sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought to herself, "I cannot watch the boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, now I want you to really pick up on this question. The angel of heaven said to her, "What is the matter? What is the matter? Hagar, do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up." So notice what God says. He says, "Lift your boy up. Take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave it to the boy, and he drank. And this, of course, was Ishmael, who became a great nation. And I want to talk to you on this subject this morning on one powerful question. What is the matter with you? What is the matter with you? It's a powerful question that God sent an angel to go ask this mom. What is the matter with you? A matter there is defined as a situation. And all of us here are in some type of a situation. You might be in a difficult situation right now. Some of you are in a discouraging situation. You're in a fearful situation. You're in a sad situation. You're just out of control in your situation. You don't know how your situation's going to turn out. But all of us, like Hagar, are in some type of situation. But God says, what is the matter with you? Why did God just single her out? Because what may be a situation for you is not a situation for God. So even though it may be out of your control, it is in God's control. That's why he didn't just say, "What's the matter?" He said, "What's the matter, Hagar?" And singled her out, because the situation you're in right now is not the situation God is in, because God has already taken care of your situation. So God is not worried about what you're worried about. God is not fearful of what you're fearful of. God is not discouraged by what you're discouraged by. So it may be a matter with you, but it is not a matter with God. Can we give him praise for that? So he looks at this mom and he says, "What is the matter with you?" I think sometimes God needs to be that straightforward with us, and he needs to look at us and say, "What is the matter with you?" If there is one thing you can count on in life, is that your path will not always be easy. Not everything is going to go well for you. There are moments that everything looks bright, and then suddenly a turn of event happens that brings destruction, that brings fear, that brings brokenness and discouragement and even anger. And such is the case with this woman Hagar. Hagar, the name Hagar in the Hebrew means immigrant. It wasn't even her real name. But see, people will identify you by your situation. And she was an Egyptian slave, some people believe. And as she was in Egypt, she had no hope of a future, no hope of anything better until Abraham gets into her life. And Abraham takes her from Egypt to his land, and now she's working for him as a servant. So her life just got harder. She was always serving, she was always working, her life made no sense. She had no idea that God was going to use her. And one day, Abraham, who was old and couldn't have a child with Sarah, his wife, they tried it. Even though God promised them, one day you're going to be parents, one day it hasn't happened yet for you, but don't be discouraged. And they had faith, they believed God, but after a while, it took too long. How many of you know sometimes God takes too long? And you don't know what He's doing, and He's not giving you the promises of God, and you're tired of hearing about the promise, and you're tired of not seeing the promise delivered. Abraham gets tired. But his wife Sarah comes up to him and says, "Honey, I have a great idea. I know God said that He'll give us a child, but we've been trying. Nothing's working. I'm not getting any younger. These eggs are dusty. I don't know what's going to happen. So why don't you, why don't you go and sleep with our servant Hagar, the young one?" "Well, honey, if you say so." I mean, Abraham had a problem when Sarah told him, "Take out the trash." Abraham had a promise to go feed the camels and walk the goats. But when she said, "Hey, why don't you go sleep with that other woman?" "Honey, you know I'm here to serve. You know, I'm here for you. Whatever you say, honey, I'm just going to be in a submissive husband." You notice that in the Bible, only in Genesis, the men got in trouble when they listened to their wives? That's another sermon. I'm not going there. But Abraham says, "Okay." Knowing that it's not good. So he listens to his wife and he sleeps with Hagar, gets her pregnant and has Ishmael. And now they have this family, pretty blended. And then God gets Sarah pregnant. That makes no sense to me. But now, as they grow up, Sarah gets kind of bitter towards Hagar and her son. And Abraham is just paying more attention to him, and the two sons are fighting with one another. And Sarah just says, "Listen, honey, you need to tell Hagar and that boy of hers to go." Hagar had no idea what was about to happen in her life. But one minute, see, you have to understand through the eyes of Hagar how she felt like her life was now better. Because here's this immigrant woman with no future who meets a man who rescues her, has a baby with her, and now she has a sense of purpose and identity and worth, because may I remind you, Abraham was a very, very wealthy man. So Hagar's like, "I made it. My life is going to be better now. My life is going to be easier now because I found a man that I had a child with, and everything from now on is going to be easier." Have you ever thought that to be wrong? And one morning, Hagar is asleep. She wakes up to Abraham and says, "Get up." He throws her a skin of water. He says, "You gotta go. You need to go." It was so unexpected. She never imagined that the man she had a child with would just leave her. She never was prepared to raise a child on her own. Single motherhood was not in her vocabulary. But see, people can let you down like that. And people can hurt you like that. And Hagar, she just had no answers, no questions. She had to get up and leave. Her life came crashing down in one day as the father of her child abandoned her. She felt used. She felt worthless. She felt ashamed. And even though, can I preach and get a little real with you? Even though Sarah was the wife, some of you have been messed up by the other woman. The other woman that got in the way. The other woman that said, you need to choose me over her. And some of you have been rejected and used and abandoned because someone just said, I don't need you anymore. And what I feel for Hagar is sadness because she's left to pick up the pieces of this broken relationship. And Abraham's fine. Abraham has his kid. Abraham has his wife. He has his home. And his life is fine. And some of you feel like God has given you the short end of the stick here. And He's made the other person's life better and not yours. And He's making your life difficult. And He's not even doing anything for them. But can I just tell you from reading the book of Genesis, Abraham gets his. Amen? So let God just work. Some of you feel like you've been abandoned by God. Like God has let you been hurt by another person. And the Bible says in verse 14, early the next morning, Abraham took some food and skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them out on her shoulder and sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered. And that word wander in the Hebrew doesn't mean to just be lost. That word wander is a Hebrew word that's translated to be led astray and misled. Can I tell you that there's nothing worse than for a woman or a person in general? There is nothing worse than to feel like you've been misled by someone. To feel used and rejected, or even replaced, left and abandoned to pick up the brokenness of someone else's selfish decision. And in verse 15 and 16, here's where everything really went down. The Bible says when the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy in the bushes and she gave up. She gave up. Assuming that now it's over. It's not going to get better for me. Nothing's ever going to change. She reached her breaking point. She reached the end. This is a single mom that reached this point where she just saw her situation. When she saw the water was gone, she just dropped the boy off. She ran a boy shot away, which is about 100, 200 feet away. She didn't want to see him die. Because she thought it was over. Not knowing that God was about to do something great in her life. See, only God determines when it's over for you. Only God determines when you should give up. When you should stop trying. But see, here's a mom that saw her situation, had no open opportunity, no door was opening, nothing in her life was saying, things are going to get better for you. So she just let go of Ishmael. She walked away crying. She gave up. I wonder if I have people here in this room or listening online. You're just like Hagar. Maybe you're not even a mother, but you can relate to wanting to give up. wanting to say, what's the point? Things are never going to get better for me. Things are never going to change. Why should I keep trying? And you just give up. See, the Bible says she thought, I can't watch the boy die. That's how powerful your thoughts are. Your thoughts will determine how you act. And in her mind, she had this powerful imagination that she saw her boy die. She saw her situation hopeless. Can I ask you this morning, what is it in your thoughts that you see in regards to your life and your future? What do you tell yourself? The Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. And Hagar was ruled by wrong thinking. She was ruled and misled by wrong thoughts. And her thoughts told her, give up. Her thoughts told her, your son will never make it. Her thoughts probably even told her, you're a pretty bad mom. And there's a lot of mothers that feel like they may have made some bad choices, or they may feel like they're never going to change, or, hey, I'm just the worst mom ever. But let me tell you something. When God gives you a child, it's because there's no one better to raise that child but you. Even though your situations may not be in your favor, even though you may be doing it alone, even though you may be hurting and life is hard, I love the fact that God looks at this mom and says, what is the matter with you? Don't be afraid. Something great is going to come out of this. As I looked at Hagar, I began to wonder what went wrong in her life. Why was Hagar defeated? Why was Hagar hopeless? Why was Hagar weeping? Why does she give up? Because if you're here this morning and you feel defeated, you feel hopeless, you're crying yourself to sleep, you're saying that it's never going to get better, you're sad, you're anxious, you're fearful, you're discouraged, you're just lost and distressed, let me tell you, there is something off about you too. And here's the problem. Notice that she dropped the boy off, she went away weeping, only after she saw the skin of water dry. Now, stay with me here because this is powerful. That skin of water that Abraham gave her. And maybe, just maybe, she made this fatal mistake of making a man the source of her strength. And as she saw that water, because when you gave that water a skin was for a certain amount of days in the journey. And maybe as long as she saw the water in there, she said to herself, he'll be back. He'll come get us. He'll come to our rescue. Dad's not going to leave us like this. Dad's going to change. You ever told yourself that? But as soon as the last drop was gone, something in her said, he's not changing. He's not coming back. You have to deal with this. And then she said, I can't. And Hagar made a fatal, destructive mistake that we make. She tried to meet her deepest needs by someone else. See, let me explain to you something. In each and every one of us, whether man, woman, mom, single, whoever, if you are a person, there are four deep needs that drive you. It's in our humanity. See, we're driven by acceptance. Acceptance is knowing that you're valued. Knowing that you're loved. You might want to act tough and say, oh, I don't need anyone. I don't need validation. But it is our human nature to want to feel accepted. We have a drive for identity. We want to feel significant. We have a passion and a need that drives us for security. We want to feel naturally protected, stable, and cared for. And we have a desire and a need for purpose. We want to do something, accomplish something. We want something to have meaning in our lives. So in our lives, we have this desire for acceptance, identity, security, and purpose. But see, the mistake that we often make is that we try to fulfill all these four needs that you have in people, in jobs, in money, in pleasure, in accomplishments. We try to fuel and just fuel all these needs in our lives. And only God can. No one or nothing can meet your deepest needs but God. And when you have this mentality that without them I'm nothing, without this I have no purpose, without this or that or them or her or him or them, listen. Without them, you still have acceptance. You still have identity. You still have purpose. You still have security. Because even without them, you still have God. And God says, I'm the one that fills your needs. I'm the one that will fulfill the four major needs of your heart. Acceptance, identity, security, and purpose. But like Hagar, if you put all your needs on people, you will be disappointed. People will let you down. And Hagar put all her acceptance on Abraham. She felt loved and valued because he had a baby with her. Hagar was no longer the immigrant. Now she was the concubine of Abraham, a new identity. Now she had security. She had a home. Now she had purpose. I'm a mother. But did you notice Abraham failed her, stripped the house right out of her? God still called her Hagar? Because if I look for my needs to be met by someone else, I'm going to be left dried and empty. Is this making sense today? See, we have this world that people are feeling dry, they're feeling hopeless, they're feeling empty, because you're seeking to meet your needs, your natural needs, by other means that will not fill you. And you're trying to fill it in the wrong things and in the wrong people. Let me ask you this question and just answer it to yourself. In your everyday life, in whom or what do you seek first to fulfill your greatest needs? What is it in your life that you look to? Who is it in your life you looked up to that you say, because of them, I feel my needs being met? The truth is that that won't last very long because people will fail you. God declares, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But people cannot say that. People will fail you. People will forsake you. People will abandon you. People will hurt you. People will reject you. And if I find my needs in people that are unstable, will my life be unstable? So Hagar made this fatal mistake to put it all on Abraham. He's my savior. He's my rescuer. He's the one that gave my life purpose and meaning. And when Abraham failed, her entire life came down. This is why there's so much heartbreak. This is why there is so much brokenness and emptiness and discouragement and depression in people, because we are trying to seek out our needs to be met by everything else but God. And God says, only I can meet your greatest needs. Our mistake is that we have this God-sized hole in our hearts that can only be filled by God. But we try to fill it with other things. If you say to yourself, I'm not complete until I'm married. I'm nothing without this person. I'm not important without my job. I'm nothing without money. I need this pleasure. What do you do when that person is gone? What do you do when that job is over and you retire if they don't fire you? What do you do when the bank account runs empty? When the pleasure is over? When the bottle is empty? When the sex is over? When the person is gone? What do you do when what you use to fulfill your needs runs dry? You get like Hagar. You give up. You get discouraged. Your thoughts tell you, now what? It's over. It's empty. I have no reason to live. Because your needs are not met by those things or those people. They're met by God. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. Is God the first that you seek in your life? Because notice what God says here. Seek first my kingdom, and all these things will be given unto you as well. See, God says, when you put me first and you seek me to fill your needs, I'll take care of everything else. The problem is we say, no, God, I need these things first and then I'll seek you. And our lives become unbalanced and broken because God says this is not the order of priority that you have been designed for. You have been designed to seek me first and trust me for everything else. But when everything else becomes your deepest trust and I become secondary to that, your life will run dry. Your life will run empty. You are far too dependent on this man. You are far too dependent on Abraham. You lean on him for everything. You look for him for acceptance. You look for him for purpose. You look for him for identity. But notice, now that Abraham is gone, you're broken, you're left alone, you're isolated because you have forgotten Hagar. I am the one that can fill you. I am the one that can fulfill your needs. This is why I read this Bible and I say, man, everyone who went after everything else but God felt empty. Hey, you remember that story Jesus said about the prodigal son? Who had everything he needed in his father's home, but he still went off and left the father. And the Bible says that after he spent everything, he was in need. You see, when I forfeit God to seek the world, when I forfeit God to depend on other things and pleasure and people, there's only a matter of time that you have that need again. Because only God can satisfy. John 4:13, there's a woman that made the same mistake as Hagar. Jesus goes out to this well. He sees this Samaritan woman. She's alone. And Jesus answers her and says, you know, everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. Talking about the physical water. You see, water satisfies you for a moment. And it's only a matter of time till you're thirsty again. Take that and apply it to your life, whatever your water is. It fills you for a moment. It might be a person, it might be a hobby, it might be a sin. For a moment, it fills you up. You're fine, you're satisfied. And then you feel thirsty again. Jesus illustrated this to say what this woman's life was like. Verse 14. He says this, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And in verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water So I'll never get thirsty again. That's awesome. And I don't want to keep coming to draw up this water. She didn't get it. And then Jesus gets personal with her in verse 16. He says, he told her, go and call your husband and come back. I have no husband. She replied, and Jesus said to her, oh, you're right about that. You're right when you say you have no husband. Verse 18, the fact is, you have five. I was like, Jesus. You went too personal. The fact is, you have five. What if Jesus right now, he sits down with you? And he says, look at you. You're so empty. And you keep getting thirsty because you're looking for these temporary things to satisfy. The fact is, what is your fact? What is your fact? We're kind of scared to admit what the fact is, aren't we? The fact is, Jesus said, you have five husbands. And I know, I love how Jesus talks to her. I know. So, Jesus says something profound. You have five husbands. And the man you now have is not even your husband. Uh-oh. You know what she says? Oh, what you say is quite true. It's true. You know, I've been bad. Can I tell you something, though? Jesus wasn't saying this to condemn her. Jesus was saying this to let her know, I know you. I know why you're empty. I know why you go after Tommy and Bobby and Ricky. I know why. I know why. This woman made a mistake. See, I believe that the woman was trying to find purpose. She was trying to find acceptance, identity, maybe in the first man. And couldn't find it, so she moved on to the second man. Couldn't find it, so she went to the third one. Still felt empty, went to the fourth one. Still felt nothing. She gave him up and said, I'm not even going to bother getting married. I'm just going to try this one. Was it for pleasure? I don't know. Was it for purpose? Was it for acceptance? Was it for value? I don't know. But all of us, like this woman and like Hagar, I feel like we're going to the wrong thing to fill a need that only God can fill. And what I love about Jesus is he looks at this woman knowing the worst about her. That's why she was out there alone in the middle of the afternoon, because she was so ashamed because everyone talked about her. When Jesus went up to her, she was even shocked that he would even talk to her. But don't be shocked by the love of Jesus Christ he has for you. He looks at you at your worst and says, I still want to fill you. I know why you're doing this. I know why you keep running to that person. I know why you keep doing that sin. I know why you are who you are. And if you will come to me and let me fill you, you will never get back to that thirst again. And he tells this woman, come to me. And this woman, she accepts Jesus as her Savior. Because all along, who she really needed was Christ. So as we close, you're thinking, Pastor, what kind of Mother's Day message is this? Aren't you glad it's not the typical one, though? Mothers are special. We all know that, right? Do I have to preach that? No, thank you. So don't get mad at me. You're probably thinking, Pastor, what kind of Mother's Day message is this? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. Hagar was a defeated mom. And can I tell you the truth? I know in this church, at least in this church, I don't know who you are listening online, but in this church, I have a lot of defeated moms. I have a lot of moms that feel like Hagar that say, "Pastor, I reached a breaking point. That I'm wandering. I feel like God has led me astray. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm wandering Monday through Sunday. I don't know what's going to happen next. All I know is that I have a child or more. I have two or three or four, whatever. But I have someone I need to take care of that I don't even know if I can do it. I don't know if I can raise them. I don't know if I can be the mom they need. And I feel like giving up." That's why she dropped that child and says, "I can't be your mom." But God says in verse 16, she went off. She sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I can't watch my boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. See, that's a defeated mom when all you can do is cry. And you have no answers, no solution, and no hope. But God heard boy crying. The angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? What's your situation?" And tells her, "Do not be afraid. I heard your boy crying as he lies there." In verse 18, I love what God tells her. Because this is why you're a mom today. God says, "Lift that boy up." Maybe God is telling you, "Lift that girl up." You see, God has put that mother in your life. He has made you a mom to be a lifter of that child. And I'm grateful for a mom who's always been there to lift me up. A mom that says, "It's not easy. I know it's hard. But at my worst, she was there. So I'm lifting you up. And I'm not going to watch you die. I'm not going to watch you give up." See, that's what mothers do. They take the pain. They wander. They go through the struggle. But God has to remind you, "Listen, you have a child that needs you. No matter how old they are, they might be out of your home. But we always need a mom to pick us up." And if you've lost a mother, and you say, "Pastor, I don't have that in my life. I have no one to pick me up." You have God to pick you up. And God says, "Don't be afraid. Pick him up. Take him by the hand." When she went back to him, listen, she went back to him. Because I want to talk to another mother. You might be a single mom. You may not be. But maybe you have a child in your life that's spiritually dying. She said, "I can't stand watching him die." God said, "Don't give up on him. Go back to him." And she had to go back and lift him up. And Ishmael became a great nation because of a mother who was there to pick him up. And the Bible says, then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. Isn't it interesting? She was crying over the skin of water that was dry, but God provided her a well, and God was saying, you're so dependent on Abraham, but you don't know that when you trust me, I can give you more than what that man could have given you. And God says, that skin is going to dry up, but my well won't. That's why God tells the Samaritan, you'll never thirst again. You'll never feel empty again. You'll never feel hopeless again. You'll never feel without purpose again. You'll never feel like you have no acceptance. You'll never feel like you have no security. You'll never feel like you have no identity when I am your source. Can you say that about God? Is He the source in your life? Or you're still going to run off to other things and people. And God opened her eyes because I believe God needs to open yours. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Because God is watching you. He's providing for you. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave it to the boy to drink. And God was with the boy as he grew up. So the Bible says that Ishmael grew up and will become a great nation. How can something so great come out of a bad situation? It's because God chose a mother that will go through a season of discouragement, a season of rejection, a season of betrayal. But once she picked them up and held them by the hand, she never let him go again. And she trusted God to be her source. See, one of the things I love about moms, because you may be a mom here today. You may be an expecting mother. You may be a single mom. You may be a man. Because I'm telling you, men, wasn't this message good for you too? Happy Mother's Day to you too. Because we've all struggled with thoughts that you can't make it. We've all struggled with thoughts it's over. I love that God opens up her eyes, meaning even though her eyes were already open, she wasn't seeing right. And let me tell you that the devil wants to blind you to the truth of God's word and protection and security and identity and acceptance in your life. He wants to blind you to the truth of God's word, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. And some of you may be blind right now because you're so busy looking at what Abraham did. You're so busy looking at the empty water jar. You're so empty. You're just looking at all the wrong that you haven't seen the right that God wants to do in your life. And Hagar's needs were found and met by God. And when Hagar saw Ishmael grow up, you know, the pain was there of Abraham leaving her. But she was able to look back and say, I had God. God met my deepest needs. She probably said to herself, I can't believe I cried over Abraham. I can't believe I was afraid. I can't believe I gave up. She probably kept that a secret from Ishmael. There was one time I dropped you off just to die. She probably kept that a secret. But deep down inside, she thought to herself, I can't believe I gave up on my child. But God says, I hear you cry. And if you would just trust me to meet your needs, you'll find fulfillment like no man or thing has ever given you. What I love about mothers is in John 16:20, that no man can do, no man. But John 16:20, the Word of God says, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, So God promises that in your life, you're going to weep, you're going to mourn, you're going to grieve. But here's another promise. Your grief will turn to joy. And he gives this powerful illustration. Of all the illustrations, Jesus was great in giving. I think this is the best one. He says, let's talk about childbirth. Men, don't even. You can't. I can't. I get a splinter and I'm done. I just don't know how women do it. A woman giving birth to a child. Y'all remember that day? A woman giving birth to a child has pain. Do you have pain in your life right now? Of course you do. Because her time has come. So God says there is a time for pain. But when the baby is born, she forgets the anguish. Now, it's not that she has no memory of it, but it no longer gives her pain. So God says, you're always going to remember your past, but there will come a season your past will no longer affect you. A mom has this chemical that just gets released that the pain is gone. That's why she has another child. Who would ever have another child after that? Let's have another. I could never do that. I was like, never. Tie it up. Forget it. But see, God causes you to forget so that you can keep going. And she said she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born to this world. You know, mothers have this amazing ability and this gift that God gave them. And it's the strength to keep pushing through the pain. The pain comes, but the mother never says, I changed my mind. The pain comes and the mother never says, oh, that, you know what? I forget this. I can't do it. The pain comes and the mother's natural reaction is to push and keep pushing because in her mind, she bypasses the pain because in her mind is the child. Can I tell you that I've seen that in my whole life through my mom. My mom has bypassed the pain in her life for all three of us. She's always had us in mind. And I'm grateful that mothers just keep pushing. And I can tell you stories of my mom just pushing and pushing. And she kept pushing. And she'll push through cancer. She'll push through pain. She'll push through struggle and setbacks. And she'll push and push and push. Because the greatest joy is standing right in front of her. It's me. And Enrique and Danny. Them too also, I guess. But sometimes I think that mothers, sometimes you feel like you can't push anymore. And you're pushing through financial problems, you're pushing through divorce, you're pushing through sickness, you're pushing and pushing and pushing, and every month you're pushing, every week you're pushing. But if you can push for your child, God can push for you because you're His. That's why God refers to Himself as one of the names of God, His mother. Because He's a nurturer. And because you're a child of God, He has you in mind, and He will push through anything for you. And in the end, God promises joy. So what I just see in Hagar is that God was telling her, you got to keep pushing. You got to keep going. And you got to get your son up. Because I'm not done with him. And he's going to be a great thing. He's going to be a great nation. You may think it's over. Your thoughts have deceived you and because you are relying on someone else. But I'm telling you, Hagar, you will get up. Don't be afraid and keep pushing. So I want all my mothers to stand today. And I want all my mothers to come to this altar. I want to pray for you today. If you're an expecting mother, I want you to come forward today. I want all the mothers to come on this side. If you're a single mom, if you're a mother that says, "Pastor, I've been hurt, I've been betrayed." There's a lot of moms. Come up, come up. And if you're here today, she's so cute. If you're here today, you're saying, "Pastor, I just feel like I can't push." God is telling you today that you're going to make it. God is telling you today that He will fulfill your greatest needs. If you have to do it alone, you will. If you have to do it with your husband, you will. If you have to do it through deserts, you will. God says no matter what you go through, you will get through. Because God has given you that child. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, for all the mothers that we have here, that have a child you've entrusted, that have a child in their hands right now that you have given them to raise. Maybe their child right now is already grown up, but that child will always be a child in their eyes. Father, I thank you for the gift of mothers and the ability to keep pushing through pain and struggle. I pray, God, that you will be our greatest need in our lives, that our acceptance, our identity, security, and purpose will be found by you and nothing else and no one else. And for any mother here that is discouraged, that is afraid, that has been hurt and rejected, I know, Lord, that you hear their cry, you see their pain, but you still have their destiny. So lead them, guide them, protect them, and continue to fill them when they're empty. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. Can you give it up to all the moms here today? And I have another prayer today. But if you're here this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to just not just direct this to the mothers now, because I believe this message could be applied for anybody. With every head bowed, every eye closed, it's important what I said today. You might be like this Samaritan woman. You're saying, "Pastor, I'm trying to find this purpose. I'm trying to find this acceptance and identity and security, but I'm finding it in the wrong things and in the wrong people. And when it's all said and done, I still feel empty. I still feel hopeless." It's because only Jesus Christ can fill your greatest needs. And Jesus knew every sin of the Samaritan woman, just like He's known every sin of yours. But He knows this because He wants you to understand He still loves you. He died on the cross for your sins. And Jesus gave this woman the opportunity to see Jesus as the ultimate source for her needs. You have a need for salvation because you are a sinner. Jesus has already met that need. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you repent of your sins and turn to Him, He will forgive you. You will be His child. My question to you is that, do you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? You're saying, "Pastor, I am just tired of feeling empty." And it's time for you to run to Jesus. I want you to just put your hand up and you say, "Pastor, my greatest needs, I've been trying to fill my greatest needs in other things." And if you're here online, I want to pray with you as well. Let's pray. Just say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Fill me with my greatest needs. As I turn to you, I repent of my sins, and I ask you to be the Savior of my life. Forgive me as I surrender to you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen." We give God some praise today for this Mother's Day message. Amen.